One of the two which heard John speak, that's John the Baptist, John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So Andrew, the first thing Andrew wanted of his brother Simon, I don't know if he was older or younger, I think maybe Simon Peter was older than Andrew, but the first thing he wanted of his brother was for his brother to get saved and to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that certainly should be what each one of you want from these two little boys, your little brothers of yours, that you want them to get saved as soon as they understand about Jesus Christ. So it's your job to help them understand about Jesus. Share with them what Jesus did for them. Tell them Bible stories. It's not just mom and dad's job. It's the whole family's job, you see. But the Bible said, we already read it, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So let's ask God to bless these two little boys, Timothy and Lemuel. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these new young ones added to the Bond family. Father, we're asking your blessing to be upon Timothy and Lemuel. Lord, would you please help them as they grow up? Lord, would you help them to love you and to accept you as their Savior as soon as they understand what Jesus did for them? Help them not to rebel against God and against their mom and dad, but Lord, that they would submit and that they would repent of their sins and be saved. Father, we're asking your blessing to be upon Nathan and Darina and the whole family, all of the siblings, as they all try to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you please give Nathan and Darina wisdom as they raise these two? Help them, Father. Give them your help from on high. Not one of us knows how to raise children. We're not born with the knowledge of how to do it right. We all have to learn how. And so, Lord, would you please help and give your leading and direction to both Nathan and Darina as they try their best to teach these boys how to love God and serve him. We ask your blessing to be upon this family, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand for one more song, please. One more song. Let's see, it's 471. 471. Love found a way. Praise God. 471.
Wonderful love that rescued me, sunk deep in sin, guilty and vile as I could be, no hope within. When every ray of light had fled, oh glorious day, raising my soul from out the dead, love found a way, love found a way to redeem my soul, love found a way that could make me given. Love found a way, love found a way to redeem my soul,
love found a way
that could make me whole, love sent my Lord to the cross of shame, love. Gates of light to
heaven's domain, where in eternal power and might Jesus shall reign. Love lifted me from depths of woe to endless day. There was no help in earth below. Love found a way. Seated. Good singing this morning. And take your Bibles with me, please, and turn to Romans chapter 4. We are moving right along. I told my wife, we're moving right along in our series. We're in chapter 4 already. Well, it's taken a little while. We'll probably be here for almost a year, I imagine, in the book of Romans. But Romans chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the first 12 verses, half a chapter this morning. Really moving along. All right, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So let's pray, please. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help me as I preach this message. Give me the words to say. Father, I pray for each one of us that we would understand it. And Lord, if there's one here that is not sure of their salvation, one here that is sure they're not saved, Father, would you please speak to that heart? Help them to turn to Jesus today. Help them to have receive the assurance of salvation. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. In Romans so far, we've seen that God is righteous in everything he does. And that each and every person is a sinner and comes short of God's righteousness. But we've seen that God has provided hope because he's made a way for his righteousness to be given to us to cover our unrighteousness. And I say our unrighteousness because our very best and our very most righteous acts still only amount to unrighteousness in the face of God's holiness. So our righteousness is just unrighteousness. But man can be given God's righteousness. So far, that's what we've learned in Romans. But now, as we come to chapter 4, was it different in the Old Testament? Was Abraham saved any differently than we are saved today? And how about the rest of the Old Testament saints? How were they saved? Were they saved differently? Then we are saved now. So this morning the title of the message is The Salvation of Abraham and Old Testament Saints. The Salvation of Abraham and the Old Testament Saints. How did Abraham find or attain salvation. Let's look at verse 1 through 3 again. The first point, how did Abraham find, and that word is referring to attain, reach, receive. How did Abraham attain salvation? What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? And by the way, that pertaining to the flesh is not referring to the hath found. The pertaining to the flesh is our father. Abraham our father is the father of the Jewish nation. That's according to the flesh. What shall we say then that Abraham hath found? Is what he's asking. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. If Abraham were saved because of his works, verse 2 is talking about, if Abraham were saved because of his works, he'd be able to boast about his accomplishment to every other man. Abraham, you are so righteous that you attained, you were given salvation because you were so good. You were such a great man. If that were the case, Abraham would be able to boast, right? But we've already read that boasting is excluded. Boasting is excluded. See, he's building on what he's saying before. Boasting is excluded. Therefore, Abraham has no right to boast. And so, therefore, Abraham could not be saved by his own righteousness. Okay? He would have whereof to glory, whereof to boast to other men. But not before God, because God's righteousness exceeded Abraham's righteousness. You see? So how was Abraham saved? Abraham wasn't saved by works. So how was he saved? What does the Scripture say? Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. How was Abraham saved anyway? What is written in God's Word? Abraham believed God. And that's found, that statement is found in Genesis 15:6, by the way. Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's what the Old Testament says. So how was Abraham saved? Believing in God. Abraham was saved by faith alone. Faith in God alone. He wasn't saved by works. He was saved by the very same God, by putting his faith in the very same God that you and I need and must put our faith in. Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same person, you see. It is by faith alone. Abraham was saved the same way you and I need to be saved or have been saved today, by faith. Saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Verse 4 and 5. Emphasizing salvation is not of works. Salvation cannot be worked for. This is what verse 4 and 5 are emphasizing. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. What is Paul saying? Paul is making a very, well, profound statement, I guess. A very interesting statement. He's just simply saying, salvation cannot be worked for. By the very definition of the word, you cannot be saved if you save yourself. If you think about it, receiving salvation cannot be done without a second person. Receiving salvation is not a first person action. Receiving salvation is done by a second person, giving the salvation to the first person, you see. What am I saying? Well, imagine a lifeguard on the shore, and there's a swimmer offshore, and the swimmer starts waving his hand and crying out, "Help! Save me! I don't think I can make it!" And so what does the lifeguard do? Well, the lifeguard jumps into a boat, and he paddles out to him. And instead of reaching out and grabbing that swimmer, the lifeguard paddles his boat, circles around the swimmer. And instead of helping him, he starts encouraging that swimmer. "You can do it! You can make it! Keep on swimming! Is that what lifeguards do, by the way? I sure hope not. But this lifeguard is our story, okay? You just keep swimming a few more feet and you'll be able to touch bottom. Keep it up! You can make it! And with this encouragement, the swimmer makes it to shore. Amazingly. Is the swimmer going to turn around to that lifeguard, turn to that lifeguard and say, "Thank you so much for saving me"? No. Did the lifeguard save him? He basically got himself out of trouble, didn't he? The lifeguard did not save him. The swimmer worked for his own safety. The swimmer worked for his own safety. Now, could we say the swimmer saved himself? Well, not really. You can't really save yourself. You just get yourself out of trouble, basically. You cannot save yourself. It's the lifeguard who is supposed to do the saving, you see. And that's the same, that's what Paul is saying. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. There is no grace if you work for it. If you worked for your salvation, it's not salvation any longer. You are being paid for a debt. You aren't being saved. You're being paid, you see. God's salvation, though, is not of works. God's salvation is believing on Jesus Christ. Righteousness is imputed to our account only when we place our faith in Jesus, the righteous one. You see, the righteous one, the just one, has the power to justify us. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. When we believe on the one who is able to justify me, then I receive his righteousness. I am justified through my faith in him. I can't save myself. God must do the saving. God must do the saving. You must be saved with the blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not of works. It cannot be of works. Otherwise, when you get to heaven, God is just paying you for what you earned. Heaven is not a payment. God does not owe you and I heaven. Therefore, you and I did not work for it, you see. If I worked for it, then God owes me heaven. But God doesn't owe me heaven. It's a free gift. And so I cannot work for it in any way. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe you heaven. So it's not of works. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, so Abraham was saved by faith, belief, believing in God, the same God that you and I must believe in. And salvation is not of works, it cannot be. It cannot be worked for, otherwise it's a payment for a debt, for your works. It's a payment for your works. Salvation, being saved, is not of works. But what about David? What about David? How is David saved? Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David is describing the blessed state of the saved man whose sins are forgiven by God. And there's no mention here in David's words of because of he worked for it, because he earned it, because he did something for it. No, the idea is David does not mention works. Works are excluded. And only because of the Lord imputing righteousness to that man, his sins are forgiven. Outside of the man working for it. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. So David knew about it. David knew about this blessed state. He could describe it, is what Paul is saying. How would David know about this blessed condition? Because it was David's condition, is Paul's point. It was David's condition. David was saved, was forgiven by God through faith without works. David was saved without works. David could describe this blessed condition because David was experiencing that blessed state or condition himself, you see. That's Paul's point. David was saved by faith in God without works. So David was saved the very same way. Abraham was saved by faith alone. David was saved by faith alone in God, the same God that you and I must put our faith in, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same God. Same God. Is forgiveness then, verse 9 through 12, is forgiveness then only for a certain group of people? Is forgiveness then only for a certain group of people? Verse 9. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? The blessed state of being forgiven without works. That's what the question is. Can only some people be forgiven without works, or can all people be forgiven without works? Can everybody have that condition? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, because Abraham received his righteousness just through faith. So can't everybody have that? How was it then reckoned? Verse 10. How was faith given to Abraham? What was his condition when faith was given to forgiveness was given to Abraham through faith? How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Abraham was uncircumcised when the Bible says he had faith in God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was, I believe, 75 years old when that happened. And he was circumcised when he was 99, I believe. He was saved far before he was in circumcision. Verse 11. And he received the sign. That's all it is. That's all circumcision was. A sign. And he received the sign of circumcision. What was that? What sign was that of? A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. All it was, all circumcision was a sign that I have accepted the covenant between God and Abraham, the Jewish people. That's all circumcision was. Circumcision for the Jew is the same thing that baptism is for the Christian. It's just a sign. It's just saying, I'm raising my flag in the camp of Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus, and I want the whole world to know it. That's what baptism is. That's all it is. It doesn't get you saved any more than you already are. And that's what circumcision was for the Jew. It was, I am a Jew. I am one of God's people, the Jews. That's all. That's all it was. Okay? And so, baptism is the spiritual equivalent of being circumcised. Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. You and I should be saved before we get baptized. Baptism doesn't do anything if you aren't saved. If you're not saved, you're raising a false flag by being baptized. You see. And so baptism, it's the spiritual equivalent of the circumcision of the Jews. It was just a sign. It was just a seal, a proof, if you will, a proof, that's what the word seal is meaning here. It was a proof of the righteousness of the faith which he already had, yet being uncircumcised, you see. Okay? So forgiveness, is it only for a certain group of people? Well, Abraham was forgiven before he was circumcised. It was only after he had been forgiven that God then commanded him to take upon himself the sign, the symbol of circumcision. Be baptized, Abraham. Be baptized. Tell the world you're one of my people. Well, there's a covenant between you and me, God said. And circumcision is the sign of the covenant. You are the father of my people. That's all it was. That's all circumcision was. For Abraham, circumcision was a sign of being one of God's people. It did not make him more. Circumcision did not make him more of God's person. He already was God's child. He already was God saved by God. Circumcision did not make him more saved. It just was a sign saying, I am God's child. I am God's person. I am God's selection. I belong to God. That's all it was. And for them, for the Jews, it was, I am a Jew, God's chosen people. Okay? It was a seal, a proof of the covenant between him and God. Just like water baptism. You don't get more baptized. Excuse me, you don't get more saved when you enter the waters of baptism. That water doesn't do anything spiritually for you, kids. Don't think that I'm gonna receive assurance of salvation by getting baptized. I'm going to really know I'm saved because I got baptized. No. All you know you did is you got wet. That's all you know you did. Assurance of salvation comes from the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. It doesn't come from the waters of baptism, okay? So don't decide to get baptized because you need the assurance of salvation. That's not going to help. Okay? Baptism doesn't mean anything other than, I am saved. Praise God. I am saved. That's all it means. And I want the world to know it. I want the world to know it, and I want to be obedient to Jesus Christ, by the way. That's important. But the meaning of baptism is, I am saved. And I'm being obedient to Jesus by doing this. By Abraham's example, okay? So going back to verse 11. The faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, the middle of it, verse 11. That he might be the father of all them that believe. The father of all them that believe. That's a fancy phrase. What does that mean? It simply means by Abraham's example, he led the way. By Abraham's example, he led the way in faith, or he led the way with faith. He showed everybody from then on the way to be saved in faith. He led the way. He became the father of all them that believe. Okay, he set the example how to use faith to be saved. He set the example for all of us. And it's amazing when you consider Abraham. Abraham had no Bible. None of it. He didn't have Genesis. He didn't have Job. He had none of this book. And we find it hard to have the assurance of salvation sometimes. And Abraham, wow. Had nothing that he could turn to every single day. And look at the promises. These things have I written unto them. By the way, these things have I written unto them. That believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He didn't have any of those promises to look at. Amazing faith of Abraham when you consider this. He's the father of all them that believe. He had no Bible. He had no written message at all from the Lord. God simply spoke to him one time, and he moved out of Ur. Abraham, move out of Ur. Okay. He moves out of Ur. What if God spoke to you? Brother Dale, move to Alaska. If he said move to Florida, I wouldn't say move to Florida. I know if God said move to Florida, you'd jump on it. I know that. Move to Alaska, Brother Dale. Would you do it? Abraham did. Abraham did. Without a written message. God spoke to him again another time. All right, you've been here long enough. Come on to Canaan. Come on to Canaan. Move. Get out of that place where you are with your father and come on the rest of the way to Canaan. And he did. He obeyed. And then because he had obeyed those two times immediately, God made a promise to Abraham. Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a promise. And the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Wow. God, I am sure what you just said to me is going to come to pass. I believe it. I'm certain of it. Abraham believed God, and his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. God, Abraham just had a few times in the hundred, I believe he lived 185 years, his entire lifespan. Abraham lived 185 years, and God only spoke to him a handful of times, maybe six. In his entire life, he only had God's message to him come to him six or seven times at the most in his entire life. And he believed every single one of them, and he followed it. He didn't drop off any single one at all. He didn't later on think, well, Lord, I don't know. You said my children would bless the whole world, but I just don't see it. I can't believe that. He didn't stop believing God's promises. That is faith. That is faith. It's no wonder that God said he is the father of all them that believe. He is the father of the faithful. He's our father in the faith, if you will. His faith was counted for righteousness. He led the way in the use of faith. He's the father of all them that believe. That's what that phrase means. He led the way in the area of faith. He set the example. He paved the path. He broke down all the bushes in the way so you and I could easily follow his trail. He's the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Okay? So who can be saved? The circumcision can be saved, and the uncircumcision can be saved. That he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised. Okay? He's including circumcision in that statement. The circumcision can be the sons of faithful Abraham. But also the uncircumcision can be the sons of faithful Abraham. They don't have to be circumcised to be saved. He's going to be the father of all them that believe. The circumcision and, though they be not circumcised, the uncircumcision. That righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So every people group can be saved, is what he's saying. Jew can be saved and all Gentiles can be saved. And our last verse is a little tricky. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the kids, that's probably Greek. It's pretty Greek-y to me, too. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So to understand that verse, it helps to remember the idea of what these big words mean. It helps to remember that circumcision was a sign of being one of God's people, the Jewish nation. Circumcision was a sign of being one of God's chosen people. And it helps to replace those big terms with the ideas behind the big terms to help to make this verse much more clear. Okay? Abraham is the primary example, if you will, and the father of circumcision. He's the primary example of being one of God's people, circumcision. And the father of circumcision. Abraham is the primary example of being one of God's people to all people, to them who are not of the circumcision. Abraham is the primary example of how to be one of God's people to the whole world, to the circumcision and to the uncircumcision. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. To both, in other words. To both Jew and Gentile. Abraham is the primary example of faith for every group of people. That, the second half of the verse now, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Okay, Abraham is the primary example to both Jew and Gentile. Out of those groups, who is walking after the faith of Abraham? He's the primary example to all people, of all people who walk in faith. To all people who walk in faith, Abraham is the primary example of faith. Okay? That's what that most of that verse means. To all people, Jew and Gentile, who are walking in faith of God, Abraham is the primary example of how to do it. That's what that big verse means. And then the last phrase, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Abraham had that faith before he ever received the sign of the covenant. So going back to the question, if Abraham is the primary example of being one of God's people, to all people who walk in faith, who then can receive that blessed state of forgiveness? Who then receives forgiveness? Again, the question, is it only for a certain group of people? The answer is twofold. No, not for a physical different group of people. Well, not for a physical group of people. It's not for any physical group. But yes, it is for a certain group of people. Those who walk after the faith of Abraham. Those who walk after the faith of Abraham. Verse 12 again. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. For yes, forgiveness is only for a certain group of people. It's only for those who walk in the faith of Abraham, you see. Somebody who does not have faith in God cannot receive the forgiveness Abraham received. Somebody who does not put their belief and their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation does not ever experience the forgiveness of sins that faithful Abraham experienced, you see. It is only for a certain group of people, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, you see. Does ethnicity have anything to do with it? Nope. Nationality, ethnicity has nothing to do it. To do with it. You can be of any nation, any nationality, any culture, creed, except for, did you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you have faith in God like Abraham did? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it boils down to. Forgiveness is only for those who have put their faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? You can be Mexican here this morning. You can be American. You can be a complete half-breed like me. I'm German, Polish, Scottish, with a little bit of English, and probably every other nationality in Europe mixed in. Every nation of Europe I am, but I still can be saved. I still can be saved because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. It's all of faith. It is all of faith. Faith alone. Faith alone. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for each one that is here. Romans is a very difficult book, but Father, I pray you'd help us to understand it, and especially the younger ones. Lord, help them to understand it so they can grow in you from here, knowing what Romans is teaching, and use that knowledge later on. Father, if there's one here today who has not put their faith in Jesus, perhaps listening online, who has not simply put their trust in Jesus, that's all. That's all that is required. repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you agreed with God that you're a sinner? And have you believed in Jesus Christ for his salvation? It's all it takes to be saved. Such a simple salvation you've provided. But oh, how we blow it out of proportion because of this thing or that thing. Lord Jesus, help us each one to be saved and to know it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Is there one here this morning? I say, Pastor Derek, I understand Jesus died for me, and I know in my head Jesus died for me, but I've never put my faith in Jesus. I've never believed with my heart in Jesus. I've never made him my Lord. Is there one here today that say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Pray for me. Anyone at all, would you lift your hand? I don't know if that was a hand or not. Anyone at all, raise it nice and high. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. All it takes is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the forgiveness of sin that you've offered to every single person on earth. Thank you for each one of us who have been washed by the blood of Christ and have received that forgiveness. What a blessed state indeed it is to have our sins washed away, to know we're forgiven by God Almighty, to know that God is our Father, and one day we're going to go home to be with God, with our Father, for all of eternity. And our home is secure. It is safe in the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for this blessed state. Please bless each one, I pray. And help us, Lord, to share this good news with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.